Hello and welcome to Fatima Today. This show is produced by the World Apostolate of Fatima, USA, Our Lady's Blue Army, and brings topics to you, our viewers, related to the events in the world today. We live in tumultuous times when logic seems to have disappeared and uncertainty hangs over us. Our hope on these programs is to address the issues of the day and find solutions through adherence to the laws of God, especially through the message of Fatima. We ask that you subscribe to this podcast.
Welcome to Fatima Today. My name is Barb Ernster, your host, and I'm here with my guest and co-host, Katie Moran. Welcome, Katie.
Oh, glad to be back again.
So we're going to be speaking about St. Louis de Montfort, whose feast day is on April 28th. This year it's on a Sunday, so it won't be necessarily recognized by the church, but that's traditionally his feast day. That was the day he died, April 28th, 1716. Exactly, perhaps 200 years before the Angel of Peace appeared at Fatima. So we want to talk about St. Louis de Montfort's teachings from 200 years before Fatima and how they tie in with what the Blessed Mother herself came to share with the three children in the devotion to the Immaculate Heart. And so I want to start with a Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Christ is risen.
Indeed, he has risen. So thank you again, Katie, for joining me. St. Louis de Montfort's one of my favorite saints. They say the saints pick you, and he certainly pulled me out of the heap and became one of my favorites. He was born January 31st, 1673, and as I mentioned, he died April 28th, 1716, at the age of 43. He was beatified by Leo XIII in 1888, canonized by Venerable Pius XII on July 20th, 1947, the same year that our apostolate was founded. And so several years ago, we did a series with Father Hugh Gillespie. He's with the Company of Mary. He's an internationally known retreat master and an expert on St. Louis de Montfort. And of course, the Company of Mary is the order that St. Louis de Montfort started. And you can find that series on the devotion to the Immaculate Heart at watch.bluearmy.com, a 5-part series with Father Hugh Gillespie that ties in St. Louis de Montfort's teachings on consecration to Jesus through Mary and the Fatima apparitions, the messages of Our Lady at Fatima. So please go to watch.bluearmy.com to check out that series. It's free, and it's a wonderful way to learn more deeply about this great devotion. We want to talk about some of these tie-ins between Fatima and St. Louis. I just want to talk a little bit about St. Louis de Montfort. He was known as a great French missionary and preacher, and he burned with a deep and genuine desire and zeal for the renewal of the church at that time through the vigorous proclamation of the gospel. And he found the best way to teach the authentic living of the gospel is to learn more about Mary. The Mother of God was the secret to having a greater devotion to Jesus, her son, because she is the greatest disciple. And so many of you maybe have done a 33-day consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to Jesus through Mary. Perhaps you've even used St. Louis de Montfort's writings, or maybe you've used some of the newer models. I know Maximilian Kolbe also has a 33-day consecration. Katie, have you ever looked at St. Maximilian Kolbe's consecration program?
I did a few years ago.
Yeah.
But I had already consecrated myself using St. Louis de Montfort's, in 1983, I did it in preparation for the international coming to our diocese for the first time. So it was something everybody on the committee did. So I figured I already did it. So I looked at St. Maximilian Kolbe's, but I didn't delve into it deeply because I'd already done the consecration.
And I did a consecration years ago using St. Louis de Montfort, but I have to say, I didn't really know what I was doing back then. I might have been in my 20s when I did this.
I probably didn't understand it completely because I have since reread the book. But right. I agree with you. The first time you do it, if you're not keyed into what he is, you might not do it as wholeheartedly as you should be doing it.
And the one thing about St. Louis de Montfort, he wrote he wrote for simple people, you know, the uneducated. He walked all over the rural areas of France and took on the zeal, took his zeal to the uneducated, the simple people, and he taught them this great pathway to holiness through Mary. And of course, I feel like the Fatima message goes hand in glove with St. Louis de Montfort, because Mary comes 200 years later and begins to teach this devotion to her Immaculate Heart, saying, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. And she teaches this to these three little children, the youngest of whom, Francisco and Jacinta, they only live less than 2 years later. They die, but they reach such great levels of holiness by following this simple message. And so Mary's message at Fatima is simple. St. Louis de Montfort's message is simple. It's just a matter of the commitment you have, the commitment to get up every day and say yes to the Lord as Mary did. And that's what Mary's trying to teach us at Fatima as well. And so we want to go through some of the ways in which the consecration program that St. Louis de Montfort taught and Our Lady of Fatima tie in. And many people are familiar with St. Louis de Montfort's writing on true devotion to Mary. And so that is a nice way to prepare for the consecration. One of the ways that St. Louis de Montfort laid out is that you do three weeks of preparation. The first week is to renounce yourself, to get to know yourself, and to take on a spirit of renouncing yourself. And sure enough, you know, Our Lady is asking us to do that too at Fatima, to take on sacrifices and, you know, to set aside our own wills and say yes to the will of God every day. And so let's start there, Katie. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Did you want me to read that quote first about
Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. It was on May 12th, 1883, the Pope at that time, the Rome, declared his writings free from error. Now, prior to that, the writings had been hidden. And the book I have, True Devotion to Mary, the book was translated by Father Faber. And he lived in 1862 is when it was done. And so everybody's familiar with Father Faber's works because there's a lot of them out there. And it was interesting because he included in his preface to the book, he said that in this variable book on devotion to the Blessed Lady, the St. Louis recorded this prophecy. He said, I clearly foresee the raging brutes will come in fury to tear with their diabolical teeth this little writing and him whom the Holy Ghost has made use of to write it, or at least to envelop it in a silence of a coffer in order that it may not appear. Now, what's interesting is his prophecies came to pass. The book was hidden for 100 years and then came to light in 1842. And a short 11 years later, approved by Rome as being free from doctrinal error so it can be used. And then, of course, then it started to be translated into the different language, English being one of the first languages I think it was translated into. So this is important to understand that after he wrote it, he saw the importance of it before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a tie there, you know. He's rejoicing in heaven, I think, right now, and you've said this, that the Virgin Mary would have came to Fatima when she did. That had to be a great joy for him.
Yes.
He saw the unfolding of what he wrote about 2 centuries before. This truly is Fatima, devotion right. to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And Our Lady chose him as her disciple to start the work 200 years earlier.
And I always say God likes to work in 100-year increments. So we've got, you know, 100 years where his manuscript was lost and hidden. And then it's found in a chest in an attic in France amongst a bunch of other books by some of his order of priests. And then it's brought back. And then 100 years later, the Angel of Peace appears at Fatima and starts to prepare the children for the coming of the Blessed Mother. And he prepares them by drawing them to the Eucharist, to Jesus in the Eucharist. And St. Louis de Montfort, of course, he teaches that the way that we're going to get closer to Jesus is through Mary. So then a year later, the Blessed Mother comes and appears, and then she starts to teach them. And the first thing she asks them on May 13th, are you willing to offer yourselves to God every day, bear patiently with your sufferings, and offer sacrifices for conversion of sinners and reparation for sin? Well, that's exactly what the first week of St. Louis de Montfort's teaching is about. It's about renouncing yourself, getting to know yourself. Who am I before God? What is God's will for me? How am I uniting my will with His? And then the second and third week of St. Louis de Montfort's teachings is getting to know the Blessed Mother better. And then the third week is getting to know Jesus better. And then you make a consecration. So if you look at the Fatima apparitions, by the June 13th apparition, she's revealing her Immaculate Heart to the children. She's letting them know she reflects the light of God to them. They start to see God in her and they start to follow her. And that's what we're trying to do in these teachings as well. And so if you've done a consecration to Jesus through Mary, don't think that, okay, I've done that, I did it, and I'm going to renew it every year. You're supposed to renew it every day, and the way to renew it every day is by the Fatima message, by living it. And that's what Lucia always said. That's why I love how these two go together.
They go together beautifully. I mean, it even, like you said earlier, it starts with the Angel of Fatima. You know, I'd like to think maybe it was 200 years to the date because it was in the spring. Sister Lucia does not know the date. But I think it would be interesting if it was April 28th, 1916, you know what I mean? Or close to that date that the angel came. And, you know, he came and said that for devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary to be established in the world. So here's this angel coming, angel of peace coming to the children to, hey, something's going to happen in a year, so let's get you working in that direction. And they definitely had a lot of introspect, I think, after the angel apparitions, because the angel apparition, they didn't talk about it. We didn't know about it for probably 20, 25 years. This is something they kept to themselves. So it truly was them going into themselves, I think, and being able to sacrifice, because we know they learned the prayers, which is, it was said to them once. So this was truly divine grace that was allowing them to remember these prayers without having to hear them over and over again. So they prayed the prayers. They put their head to the ground. So they're dying to themselves. And so when, like you said, when she comes in 1917 and they're in that light, they were ready to be, I think that they were ready already to be into that light and to see God and to see the Trinity and to feel it in them, because they had been already doing what was necessary to die to self.
Yes. So we always say the Blessed Mother, and Father Hugh Gillespie points this out, that Mary came at Fatima at a time when the world was going to go through an unprecedented time of evil, was going to unfold with these totalitarian regimes, the Nazis and communism and fascism, all these great systems that rose up in various countries. And there was such a threat against the world, and the world would start to create weapons that could destroy whole countries, whole nations, could totally alter the Earth's axis and the nuclear bomb. We're still under that threat. And so that's why the Blessed Mother comes. And St. Louis de Montfort points out, he wrote of a coming of a time when the Most High with His Holy Mother would form for Himself great saints, her humble slaves and her poor children, whom she will raise up to make war against Satan. He stated, God wishes to reveal and make known Mary, the masterpiece of His hands in these latter days. And that was the mission that was given to Lucia, to be God's instrument in making known the devotion to the Immaculate Heart for the sanctification and salvation of souls during a time, the worst century of this two great wars, the greatest number of martyrs in the church's history, these great evils that came upon the earth. Who does God send? His Holy Mother. And St. Louis de Montfort had predicted these times. And I want to read a quote that he said. He said, I feel a tremendous urge to make our Lord and His Holy Mother loved, to go in a humble and simple way to teach catechism to the poor in country places, and to arouse in sinners a devotion to our Blessed Lady. And he said, I cannot help pleading continually for a small and poor band of good priests to do this work under the banner and protection of the Blessed Virgin. And he said he saw a need for the church, this honorable work, that the church needed this. And this is why the Blessed Mother comes at a time in 1917 when the church was going to need the lay people to step up and be devoted to her and form themselves in holiness through her Immaculate Heart.
And that's exactly what happened.
And St. John Paul II, you know, he plays such a huge part in this too. And he starts reading St. Louis de Montfort himself. And he said he had to read it several times to really understand what it was he was teaching. And then he takes on the consecration and he takes his papal model, totus tuus, totally yours. That's what we're all trying to do when we make this consecration. We're trying to reach that level. And these children were able to do that.
Yeah. In his book, Barb, which is interesting because, you know, this book I read years ago, I've got corners put down, places underlined, notes written in it, you know, because I haven't looked at this probably in a couple of years, you know. And one of the things he talks in there is, I think he was already preparing the world for the for Saturdays. He goes in there, we must defend her privileges when they're disputed. We must stand up for her glory when it is attacked. We must draw all the world, if we can, to her service. And to this true and solid devotion, we must speak and cry out against those who abuse her devotion to outrage her son. And we must at the same time establish this veritable devotion. We must pretend to no recompense for our little services, except for the honor of belonging to this beautiful and sweet queen. I have this actually underlined and bolded because it must have touched me when I read it years ago. Mm-hmm. But that's what we're doing in the first Saturdays.
Right.
We're standing up to her. We're defending her. We are consoling her. And see, and he's already saying this 200 years ago. That's what we would have to do.
Yeah, he also, you know, he asked for several things that are totally laid out in the Blue Army Pledge that Sister Lucia helped formulate for us when we started our apostolate in 1947. And that was the first one, of course, is to take up every day your daily duty and sanctify your day by offering up all of your sufferings and bearing patiently. St. Louis de Montfort says right in his book, once you've done your consecration, every day offer up your sufferings, do penances. You know, bear patiently, same thing, to unite that will of yours with the will of God. Walk with him, have a spirit of recollection so that when sufferings do come that you stop and think, oh, I'm going to unite this to the cross of Christ. If you don't remember during the day, if you make that morning offering every morning, you're making your whole day a prayer. The second thing he asked for, that Our Lady asked for, pray the rosary every day, especially for peace in the world. She asks us at all six of the apparitions. This is the tool, the spiritual tool that's been given to us during these times. It's been given greater efficacy, Sister Lucia said, because we need the powerful weapon against all the evils we're facing. St. Louis de Montfort had said, pray the office of Mary every day, or I think he called it the chaplet, which at that time was the rosary. So pray the chaplet, the rosary chaplet on your beads. So he asked for that too. The third thing, wear something, St. Louis de Montfort said, wear something on your person to show your consecration to Mary. He said the scapular or a gold chain, something to signify your consecration to Mary. Lucia said we are to wear the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel as a sign of our consecration to Mary. And then the fourth thing was, he said, to set aside every month a Saturday for Mary, particularly the first Saturday, to honor the Blessed Mother. And what does Our Lady ask for at Fatima but the first Saturday devotion? To make reparation for the blasphemies against her. So this is why I find it so interesting that the four things Lucia writes about, that she defines for us what was the request at Fatima. She does this in 1947, the same year St. Louis de Montfort is canonized. So you see the continuance of his works coming forth now in the Fatima message.
And you can see it, Barb. I agree with you. And he's already, you know, you pointed out that the war against Satan at this time, he predicted it would be very great at this time for us. And this is the path he was called to lead the people of the 20th century, 21st century on the path to Mary. So he, you know, I always said Sister Lucia is the herald to devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, like St. Margaret Mary was for the Sacred Heart. but he truly was the forerunner. He was like St. John the Baptist was the forerunner for Christ. He was the forerunner for this great devotion because he laid it out for us. And he didn't sit back and think, well, now I'm going to sit back and watch this come to fruition during my life. It didn't.
No, it was there. He did not get to see it.
Yeah. And he knew in faith it would come about, and he knew it would bring to us what we're supposed to. Because really, when the Fatima message, it's probably in the latter half of the 20th century that people started picking this book up again and reading it and saying, we have to do this. You know, everybody needs to pick this up and promote it, because I got this from the Blue Army years ago, because it was republished by John Hafford. I know it was. And it was first, you know, you could get it through the Blue Army. If you don't have this book, True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort, go to shopfatima.com and get it. It should be a book that you just don't put in a shelf and never look at it again. I don't know if yours is, but mine is marked up unbelievably, you know, as sit here and go through it.
And the one that's at shopfatima.com, it's a gray color. It's called Preparation for Total Consecration by Father Hugh Gillespie. So he revised this book that it used to be what they call, was it a red book or orange book back in the 90s and 80s?
Yeah.
It was a little red book, but then they revised it. So Father Hugh Gillespie is a real expert on this. I recommend using St. Louis de Montfort's works because they are so well known, that he goes so deep, and yet he's so simple. He wrote for the poor and the uneducated, and that's what I like about him. And how many saints did he help raise up during that time back in the 1700s? And
probably quite a few.
Yeah, and he says this is the surest, fastest, most secure way to become holy. And that's what the Blessed Mother tells us at Fatima. She says, my Immaculate Heart will be your refuge in the way that will lead you to God. So we have this total continuity of Mary's message at Fatima that's coming right out of St. Louis de Montfort's teachings. We don't have a whole lot of time, but I want to talk a little bit about that. He predicted that in these latter times, by the power of Mary, over all the devils, her humble slaves and poor children would rise up and make war against Satan. They would be little and poor in the world's esteem, trodden underfoot and persecuted. But in return, they would be rich in the grace of God, which Mary would distribute to them abundantly. Well, little Jacinta implored Lucia to tell everyone. She said, I am going to heaven soon, but you are to remain behind to spread the devotion to the Immaculate Heart. When you are to do this, do not run and hide, but tell everyone that God grants us graces through the Immaculate Heart and that we are to ask her for them. So even at the age of 9, little Jacinta understood that Mary was the mediatrix of all graces without ever having studied St. Louis's writings. And she rose to such a great level of sanctity in such a short time by this devotion that she took up to the Immaculate Heart. And so that's what Mary's calling all of us to. Let's go through, Katie, point 5. You know, I love the ways in which St. Louis de Montfort said that God would use these people who have this special devotion to her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and he gave us about 6 points or categories. You know, first one would be they'd be true disciples of Jesus Christ, having been formed by the heart of Mary. And he wrote they would be like sharp arrows in the hand of the powerful Mary to pierce her enemies. So he's already telling us you want to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. You've got to be schooled in the heart of Mary. And St. John Paul II called the Fatima message, the school of Our Lady. And he did that on May 13th, 2000 homily at Fatima. So we know he was very familiar with St. Louis de Montfort's true devotion to Mary. So you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? I mean, then you need to be formed in her heart.
Yes.
All the disciples, I mean, I like to think the apostles that followed our Lord, she formed them in her heart. Mm-hmm. You know, as they walked with our Lord for 3 years, she knew each of them personally.
Yes.
And she's going to do that for us too.
She was there at the foot of the cross. She was there when the birth of the church happened. And so she was with the apostles when they were starting out on their mission and starting to form the church. So
the second point is, he said, they will be full of grace and zeal chosen to match themselves against the enemy of God, who shall rage on all sides. You know, you sit there and you think, who are the enemies of God? Well, it's obvious. It's the devils and the demons. Those are the enemies of God. And when you have grace and zeal, you can take on anything.
Right.
Even on the days when you feel like you're not making it.
Right.
You know,
well, and Mary promises us peace, you know, that we will have peace in our hearts. And so even as things are raging on the surface all around us, you can feel it. There is rage out there. It seems like it's the enemies of God are raging everywhere. But underneath, if you're following the Blessed Mother and you're with Jesus, that you are feeling that peace.
Yeah, and the third point, this I remember, this was written probably 200 years ago, or 300, close 300 to 300 now. He says, you will fight one with one hand and build with the other. This is what we're doing today with the death of culture and all of the isms out there that are destroying our families and our homes and our community and the church. You know, this is a spiritual battle. Mm-hmm. And we really, really need to turn to Our Lady to give us the grace to persevere in the fight.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to win anything if you don't get on your hands and knees first and give yourself over to her Immaculate Heart.
And let her lead us.
Yeah. Because if you go out there by yourself, you're going to fail. And he says that in there. We have to be with one another.
Right.
Sometimes finding somebody that thinks like you is very difficult. They're not everywhere and around you anymore today. You know, to find somebody that really believes this and follows it completely. The next point is, he wrote, again, quote, they will be singularly devoted to our Blessed Lady, led by her spirit, sheltered under her protection. You know, so you're protected out there. Again, your every day is not going to be a heavenly walk where you feel, you know, just grace abounding and nothing's bothering you. No, she's there protecting you, and you've got to remind yourself of that often. Am I right, Barb?
Yes. Well, and she gives us that protection through her Immaculate Heart. She says that my Immaculate Heart will be your refuge. So we can take refuge in her heart. But also when we are wearing the brown scapular, we're putting on her mantle of protection over us. And when we're consecrating our families and ourselves to her Immaculate Heart, we're imploring her to protect us, to protect our families as well. So these are all ways in which the Immaculate Heart is trying to help us in these times.
And then the fifth point, he tells us how we're going to recognize us. You know, quote again, they shall carry on their shoulders the bloody standard of the cross and the crucifix, which is our own crosses we carry in their right hand, and the rosary in their left, with the sacred names of Jesus and Mary in their hearts, modesty and mortification of Jesus in their behavior. So we're going to recognize the devotees of Our Lady in their behavior and how they act and how they move about publicly, you know, modesty, mortification, Christ-like, rosary. And I'd like to, when she says on their shoulders, the blood, when he writes the bloody standard of the cross, the crucifix, I think that includes the brown scapular at that point on your shoulder, you know, on you like that. And we know at the Battle of Lepanto, the soldiers went into battle with a sword in one hand and the rosary in the other. Jesus and Mary on their lips, you know. So this is something that is very, 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 very important to this devotion that Jesus is calling for.
And that's what Mary asked for at Fatima, mortification every day, you know, offering our penances and taking up sacrifices. And the angel, you know, make of everything a sacrifice. So we're mortifying ourselves. We're emptying ourselves out so that Christ can fill us. And that is exactly the 33-day preparation St. Louis taught. Empty yourself so that you can let Christ in. And Mary is going to show you how.
I know. And the last point, he tells us what we're going to achieve from this. Quote, they shall overthrow and crush the heretics, the schismatics, the idolaters, the impious. And with the Holy Virgin would crush the head of the serpent. I love that.
Yes.
I mean, this sort of, he just labels everybody going on today. We just don't have heresies today and heretics. We got schismatics. We got idolaters. We got the impious. I mean, we've got the whole kit and caboodle right here going on today in our world.
Yes. And what did Lucia tell us in 1981 through Cardinal Carlos Caffara? That the final battle is against marriage and family. We see that happening now. But she said, do not be afraid. Those who work for marriage and family will always be opposed. But know that the Blessed Mother has already crushed his head. And so we're still in the battle. We're in the spiritual battle. We're working with the Blessed Mother. We're going to be the sharp arrows in her hands. And she's our commander in chief. And so she promised us at Fatima that in the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. She is going to help restore the church and our families. We might not see it, Katie. We're in the battle. We're in a really fierce battle right now, and it might get worse. But 100 years from now, we don't know what's going to come out of even the Fatima messages. You know, it's 100 some years since Mary came at Fatima. And as I said, God likes to work in 100-year increments. So we might not always get to see the promised land, but we are called to be fighting in the world today and not to be afraid that your little works, your little sacrifices, your rosaries are not doing some good out there, because there may be chaos and fires burning on the surface, but underneath there's a river of grace and mercy, and God is using all of that. And so to stay close to Christ, stay close to his mother, and learn more from St. Louis de Montfort. Katie, is there anything else you want to say before we end this podcast?
I just want to encourage anyone, if they have not read True Devotion to Mary, to read it, and if they have not made the consecration, to do it.
And go to shopfatima.com. You can find those books. Also, join the Blue Army.
Yes.
You'll become a member of this spiritual movement. Learn how to live as Mary taught us at Fatima. You can do that at bluearmy.com/join. It lays out the four things that we talked about that Mary asked us to do to become her sharp arrows in her hands. And just become a member, sign the pledge, say yes to Mary, say yes to Jesus through Mary, and let's be her army here on earth. Next week, we want to talk about the characteristics of true devotion to Our Lady. So we hope you will join us again. We're going to show how these little children took on these characteristics and how they were totally devoted to Jesus through Mary without having studied St. Louis de Montfort, but they became sanctified by following Our Lady of Fatima. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.